everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. We are off and running on a brand new week, and first Monday of December already. It is December 4th, 2023. We are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, part of our Bustos Media Tucson campus. We've got five radio stations under one roof, including this one. 1030 KVOI, The Voice, the trusted voice for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to the program at buckmastershow.com. Also the place for the podcasts, all of our shows. Almost 13 full years now of content available at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, that is sponsored by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Monday, we get the ball rolling with our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. In other words, Moe makes house calls. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview is with Pima County Public Health Director Dr. Teresa Cullen, who joined Pima County on June 1st, 2020, after serving as a former assistant U.S. Surgeon General. She retired from the U.S. Public Health Service in 2012 after 25 years of active duty, becoming the Chief Medical Officer, Information Officer, and Director of Health Informatics for the Veterans Health Administration. She's a graduate of the University of Arizona College of Medicine and has served as a clinical associate professor there. Dr. Cullen, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Doing good hanging in there, as they say. The media now full of stories about this. They've given it all sorts of names, like white lung disease. It's basically, as you know, a new spike in respiratory illness in China. Should we be concerned in this country, Dr. Cullen?
I think right now we should not be concerned about what's going on in China. Most of us think that what we're seeing is the results of especially because it's mostly a pediatric situation, of children being home for a while, and now they're out and getting pretty normal respiratory infections.
Dr. Cohen, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said on Friday that this is not a cause for alarm, and her agency is confident it's not being caused by some new or novel virus. Can we sort of rest assured that this is not some new thing like a COVID?
Yeah, well, we're always concerned that there might be a new virus, but right now there is no indication that this is a new SARS virus. Remember, COVID was SARS-CoV-2. So we have no indication that this is a new variant or a totally new virus that's come up. We do know that respiratory viruses continue to be of concern, right? Flu, COVID, and RSV. And those are circulating in our community.
Let's get an update from you on the big three, COVID, the flu, and RSV.
Yeah. So I would love to give everybody that update. I want to preface it by saying these are vaccine-preventable diseases, so we would encourage people to get vaccinated if they haven't. COVID right now, we're below the last three-year average. Thank you for reminding me. I came in 2020, so now it's been over 3 years, and our average, our number of cases right now is below what it's been, so that's great news, probably most likely due to vaccination. As far as flu is concerned, we're running above our five-season average. So COVID, we only have 3 years, but most of the times when we look at five seasons. So we're running a little above that. We do expect that increase to continue, Really, because the end of December into January is usually our highest number of flu cases that get reported. About a third of the cases that we're seeing are in 5 to 18-year-olds, which is typical for when we do see flu. RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, RSV for short, we're also running above our five-season average, though we're doing a little better than we were last year. You may recall last year we had this horrible peak of RSV in kids in the pediatric population, and we struggled there. But now we have a vaccine that's available for RSV. This is the first year that's been available, so we hope people will avail themselves of that and help us control that RSV infection rates.
I, along with a lot of older folks, took advantage of the opportunity not only to get the flu shot, the updated COVID shot, and the RSV shot. So I had the triad, Dr. Cullen.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if we're seeing any results that indicate that maybe the flu and RSV are not as prevalent in the older community here in Pima County because people did avail themselves of the vaccinations.
Yeah, so we're not really seeing that yet. I think what we would see when that impact does happen is it'll be later in December and January. You know, RSV did not have a lot of uptake initially with the vaccine. It was there wasn't enough of it. I don't know if you had that experience, but many people went to get the RSV vaccine and they couldn't get it because there wasn't enough stock available. Mm-hmm. But now there's full availability of RSV. And so we will definitely see an impact of people choosing to get the RSV vaccine. And you're like many people, right? There are three different shots. It can be a little confusing, but we would encourage people to get all three of them.
So I think one of the good news out of this interview so far is that the latest CDC figures do indicate COVID and RSV on a downward trend right now, while flu is a bit on the upswing. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, we're seeing a little above our normal average of RSV, but it's less than it was last year. So I would agree with that. Both COVID-19 and RSV look better than last year. Flu is a little bit above, but that's not uncommon for us to see that once again at this time of year.
And there was quite a bit of talk, Dr. Cullen, that this particular flu vaccine was kind of the right mix. As most of the listeners know, it is somewhat of a guessing game when the mixture is put mm-hmm. together for the flu season. So this one seems to be pretty much right on.
Yeah, you're right. Just to remind people, it is a projection. It's based on what we saw last year, and then that decision is made to include different formulations in the vaccine to respond to what we anticipate can happen right now in this time of year. So we are seeing a good response from the flu vaccine as a preventative mechanism. So once again, we would just really encourage people to get the flu vaccine so they don't get ill with the flu. You know, I think many people think the flu is, because for many people, they may have a cold, but people do die from the flu. There was a recent pediatric death in Arizona, the very first one reported from the flu this season already. So we just urge people to vaccinate if they can.
You know, the New York Times today has quite a extensive piece about childhood vaccine mandates. And activists, as you know, are trying to limit, in some states they've been very effective, like in Idaho, limiting the childhood vaccine mandates. The latest Pew Research survey conducted in March shows that 28% of respondents said that parents should be able to choose not to vaccinate their children, and that's up 12 percentage points from just 4 years ago. And I know that public health experts worry about this, that the idea that there should be freedom of choice around vaccines defeats the very purpose of the vaccination.
Yeah, I think what's important to note is that vaccination not only protects your own children, and for those of us who are older, we remember those childhood diseases and remember children dying or seeing people afflicted with polio, even and having serious sequelae for their whole life if they didn't pass on at that time. But this recognition that what we are also providing is community coverage. So if you look in Pima County, we actually just recently looked at our data here, we're still seeing fairly high vaccination rates in school-age children, which is what we encourage and seek. We do see some drop-off in vaccination rates in the 12 and up age group for children. But overall, vaccinations are really critical to protect the entire community as well as your own children.
All right, we're going to pause right here. It's our Monday one-on-one with Dr. Teresa Cullen, the Pima County Health Director. This portion of our news, well, the one-on-one's presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, and we want to talk about one of our great sponsors, Mona's Danish Bakery. I was up at Mona's yesterday, had a great lunch up there, and we talk a lot about breakfast, but they do great lunch as well. They're closed today. The well-deserved Monday off, they'll be open again tomorrow at 6:30, and there's a lot of buzz up at Mona's after their very successful 600 pies for Thanksgiving. So they're really getting excited about Christmas, and they urged me yesterday to tell our listeners, don't forget, Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle, and Kringle sounds a lot like Christmas to me, so be a great addition to your Hollywood holiday table. All right, we'll take a break right here. More with Dr. Cullen on the Monday one-on-one on Buckmaster. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is the Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing right next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And their website, they're now doing e-commerce, looking really good, moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview, Pima County Public Health Director, Dr. Teresa Cullen. She's been in that role since June 1st, 2020. Today, Dr. Cullen, the Supreme Court is hearing arguments over the legality of a roughly $6 billion, that's billion with a B, bankruptcy settlement involving one of the largest opioid manufacturers. If the justices allow this deal to proceed, do you agree with some who say it could wind up handing billions of dollars to counties like Pima County for addiction treatment?
Yeah, that would be the anticipated outcome of this, because the settlement would free up additional funding that would be distributed to respond to the opioid epidemic.
Are we getting funding from some of these previous settlements for? Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah. We're getting over 18 years. We're getting approximately $48 million, which I know will sound like a tremendous amount to your users. What I have repeatedly said, however, is the opioid crisis is a large crisis that affects a large number of people, and we cannot buy ourselves out of it. I mean, money is essential. It's a prerequisite for us to be able to respond to some of the tremendous needs we see in the community. But in addition, we as a community, as well as a nation, need to address the multiple factors that are contributing to the opioid epidemic.
How big a deal is the fentanyl crisis here in Pima County?
It's a huge deal. We've had on average for the last few years, over 400 people die a day. So that's more than one person a day die from overdose. Now, not all of those are fentanyl, but on average, we've had about 320 fentanyl overdoses each year for the past few years. And what we see, too, is not just the overdoses, right, Bill? They're the face of they're the face of death, but at the same time, there's so many other people that are impacted and or themselves suffer from a substance use disorder due to fentanyl. It's a tragic situation with a tragic drug.
Are doctors and dentists looking for alternatives in cases where they may have been quick to prescribe opioids? Now saying maybe an Advil or a couple of Advils would take care of the issue.
Yeah, you are seeing that. You know, the CDC has published opioid prescribing guidelines. The last time they published were in 2022. They were significantly different than they were in 2016. The reason is because, you know, this pendulum that swings, there was concern that it had swung to the point where if you were in pain, you were unable to get pain relief. So the 2022 guidelines really focus on what is appropriate and safe prescribing of opioids for an individual who is in pain. So when you think of dentists or other kind of acute pain, like you fell and you broke your arm, it may be appropriate for you to have access to opioids, but for some individuals, it may be appropriate to have Tylenol and Motrin alternating, and that would be sufficient. So one of the goals is to just ensure that we are appropriately prescribing and that we don't prescribe too many pills, right? So all of us will probably recall for whatever medicine you got, maybe even an antibiotic, and you didn't finish it, right? So it was laying around, or you get a narcotic and you don't finish it. Well, that's a risk. That's a risk that the wrong person, somebody in your household, somebody in your family, somebody you don't know who's visiting, may take those meds. And that may be the tipping point for them to become a substance abuser.
A public health crisis is looming and rearing its ugly head, and we're talking about syphilis. This is a very interesting development. Syphilis dropped to an historic low in 2020. Now, Dr. Cullen, as you know, cases are at the highest level in 70 years. What in the world is going on?
Well, I think there's a couple things. First off, I think what we saw in 2020 was not real. I don't think that we dropped to the lowest number. We dropped to the lowest number of diagnosed cases. And I think some of that was because of COVID and people not seeking care. But for many of your listeners, they may recall that time when you went and got a marriage license and you got a blood test, and you may not have known what that was, but that was a blood test for syphilis.
Yeah.
And there was a time when we admitted people to the hospital, and every adult that got admitted got tested for syphilis. As a provider and as a patient, you have to think of syphilis, right? And syphilis can present many times with a painless sore. That means you may have a little sore, but you ignore it, right? Because you're not in pain. You think, well, that's a weird thing. To be frank, we used to say that sometimes men would just think their genitalia got caught in a zipper and they have a little sore because of that. But actually it was a sexually transmitted infection. The way this is coming to light is that we're seeing a very sad situation where there's more and more cases of what we call congenital syphilis. That means babies that are born with syphilis because the mom had syphilis and it was undiagnosed.
That's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, it is. It's a really tragic situation. But the good news is there's screening and there's treatment. And the treatment is not hard. For most people, it's one shot of penicillin or a few weeks of another antibiotic. And then it's gone. It goes away.
You know, I know that you spent some time dealing with and trying to help veterans, and this story today in the Arizona Republic is very troubling, that close to one in five suicides now in Arizona is a veteran. You know, that adds up to about 1,800 veterans in Arizona have taken their own lives between 2017 and just November of this year. That is very sad, and every time a veteran takes his or her own life, that's one too many, Dr. Cullen.
Yeah, I agree. And I just want to share a personal reflection, and perhaps it will encourage people to seek care. I get my own care at the VA because I'm retired public health service. And I myself have sought mental health care at the Veterans Health Administration in Tucson. They're wonderful. They're life-saving. And so for any of the veterans out there that don't know if they should seek care, I would encourage them to go to the VA. The VA understands what veterans have been through, and they provide comprehensive services. Suicide is preventable, and we just need to make sure that people are aware that there are services. For those of your listeners who are non-veterans, the 988 number is designed so that you can call and you can talk with a person who can refer you to the appropriate care. So there are lots of resources available for those of people who are struggling with depression, anxiety, thoughts of suicide. And we would, from a public health perspective, really encourage people to seek care.
You know, I'm hearing that a lot of the unsheltered population, we're seeing kids who have been living in cars. That's very, very sad. I'm just wondering about what you're hearing about the unsheltered population in Pima County and their particular health needs, Dr. Cullen. Could you talk about that briefly?
Yeah, we do, and most of your listeners probably think also that there's at least a slight increase in the unsheltered population in Pima County. The city will be conducting what we call a point-in-time survey in January, which will help establish what the absolute number is of people, not the absolute number, but some guide to the number of people that are here that are unhoused. We do know that the healthcare needs are run the gamut, but some of them are really just due to being unhoused and the lack of access, for instance, to the ability to bathe regularly, to shower regularly, to have access to healthy food as opposed to either fast serve food or food that's cold because you don't have a way that you can cook it.
Yeah.
Our clinic has been doing these new clinics called companion clinics where we are pairing up with PAC, our Pima Animal Control Center, and the veterinary school at the U of A, along with our medical care, our mobile clinic, and going out and providing care to a population that's unhoused. We know the unhoused population, there's lots of animals and people care so much for their pets. And so that outreach has been successful for us in seeing people that we normally have not been able to see but are coming, their dogs or cats, whatever their animal is, can get care, and then we're able to provide care for them, too.
That's a great program. Dr. Cullen, out of time, thank you so much. Always good to catch up with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And your visitors, I hope they have a great December.
Thank you very much, Dr. Teresa Cullen, with us. Our Monday One-on-One, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez in 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez in 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website chavezin67.com. And we welcome that new sponsor, Chavez since 67. Eddie Chavez, when Ann and I came to town in 1988, Eddie's dad, the late Eduardo Chavez, did all of our cushions. And then I've reconnected with the family, and I had some cushions done, and I'm glad to have them on board. I'm proud of all of our sponsors here at the Buckmaster Show. Of course, Green Things. I ran into Jan and Jack, the owners of Green Things, while I was having lunch at Mona's yesterday. And actually, Deborah Carr from the Reed Park Zoo and her husband came in into Mona's. It was like a gathering of Buckmaster Show supporters. So that was a fun noon hour yesterday. Green Things, of course, they've got, well, Jan and Jack and the team grew 21,000 poinsettias for the holidays. I asked how many are still around. There's several thousand, but you'd be surprised. Some of these groups here in town had spoken for hundreds for their organization. So the 21,000 is not overstating the fact that they needed that many to supply folks with their holiday needs. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Once a month, we're always delighted to bring in Keith Rosenblum for our monthly border report. Keith Rosenblum, longtime border reporter. He worked for the Arizona Daily Star, the Arizona Republic. He's a longtime border observer, former district staffer for the late Arizona Congressman Jim Colby, and Keith joins us now on the live line. Hey, Keith, how are you?
Well, Bill, I feel privileged. Number one, I'm glad. I know you were just mentioning now the Buckmaster Show supporters.
Yes.
And so I'm glad you're giving equal time to the Buckmaster Show detractors. So okay. Thank you. I appreciate the
Are you a detractor? Because I sent you a sugary Christmas gift or holiday gift.
Well, I actually sent it back, returned
I doubt that. I doubt that.
Who ate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm sure you
and
ate
also,
it.
Personal note before anything else, thank you for including so many of us in Ann's funeral. It was a beautiful, we haven't spoken since then. It was a beautiful event, and it was a testament to just what a wonderful woman she was and also what a great couple you are. So thank you personally.
Well, thank you. I miss her so, so much, especially during the holidays, but pushing forward, taking one day at a time. And just so grateful that I had 51 years with such an amazing woman. So, Keith, what is going on with the closing of the Lukeville border crossing? I'm hearing all sorts of reports in the media. I don't really get the reason for this. Maybe you can fill us in.
Actually, it's so relieving, such a relief sometimes to say you don't know something. And so, although I may be the great observer of Mexico and I may have all these things in my past, I also become mystified at certain things. And so what mystifies me first is why would you close a border crossing. In other words, that crossing is not the one that's being... The ostensible reason is to shift manpower to help in detention of immigrants. There's nothing that we know that put this one border station into any particular, you know, peril. And the inconvenience is behemoth. That is, to go from now to get into that part of this of Mexico, or for the Mexicans to come to the States, it's a huge detour. You know, you're talking about a 6-hour detour, said and done. If you have to go through, Nogales, that is from Lukeville over to Nogales and then back over to where you were. So it's about 6 hours that way, because you're looking really at 3 hours to Nogales. And then, you know, on the other side, the 3 hours back to Rocky Point. So maybe the net loss of 5 hours or 4.5 hours, but still a huge one, and one that's really draconian. And going over to San Luis, you know, opposite Yuma, it's the same thing. It may be a little bit more, actually. Got to look at a map. But it's a major, major, and you know, there's things, there's little spillouts that we don't even think about. There's a whole slew of American citizen people, who kids who live in Sonoita, the border city with Lukeville, Arizona, and they go to school in Ajo. The valedictorians of in the Ajo school districts, mm-hmm. the Ajo High School, are generally from Mexico.
Wow.
And so you have
did not know
they
that.
Have no way of going to school now. Yeah, I mean, these are just like little things that you wouldn't have any reason to know, except for that I lived in Lukeville and I happen to know this. The amount of commerce that goes through there. In the meantime, and this is one of those weird things also, I got to figure this out. In the meantime, you have the port of Sasebo, where I think we talked about 2 months ago, because Keith Rosenblum decided that even though people sometimes disappear on the road between Altar or Sadiq and Sasebo, Sonora, and Sasebo, Arizona, where the crossing is, that I decided that I just was going to go ahead and gamble. So I took that road up and had a beautiful trip and totally uneventful. So I was not one of the casualties of either the smuggling of drugs or smuggling of people, the issues that are, you know, that confront Mexico and the U.S. today. But I will say this, there's no one who uses Sasebo. They have a whole infrastructure of a border crossing there. So the first thing that went through my mind was, like, okay, if you're going to close Lukeville and Sonoita, how about you close Sasebo right away? Like, Sasebo couldn't justify. I swear to you that when I went through there, there was one car in front of me. It's considered to be a totally local crossing. Why would we have Sasebo open? Maybe they don't have that much staffing. I don't know. I'm not at the CBP meetings as to determine, you know, when they're going to close a port. But it certainly is look at the collateral damage. Sometimes, you know, the thing about the secondary effects of a medicine being far worse, the cure being worse than the illness. Mm-hmm. So what we've done now is we've cut off your ability to go, right, and we don't know when it'll be restored. Maybe it'll be restored tomorrow. Maybe it'll be next week. Maybe it won't be at all for a while. But the fact is, they've cut off your ability to go. The number of people's plans, the amount of commerce that goes through Lukeville and Sonoita, and it wasn't even a 24-hour port, by the way. It was it opens, I believe, at 6 a.m. Maybe they changed it to 8. I think it's 6 a.m., but if it's not, then it's 8 a.m. to, I believe it's 8 p.m. So it's a 12-hour port anyway. I mean, how about cutting the hours down of it? I don't know, because, again, we're not a part of it. But it's hard for me to imagine why they needed all of the CBP agents, why they couldn't have. This might actually be a role, to me, for where the National Guard might actually do something effective. And, again, I know you're dealing with federal government and state government, but our National Guard, for the most part, has been ornamental in its appearances at the port of entry. They, like, help customs check drugs in vehicles. They sit there for hours on end doing nothing. So I have my own question about the use, the deployment of resources in this entire episode, but because I'm not privy to it, and there's no reason Keith Rosenblum should be privy to it, I'm not in any capacity where I would make a difference. But there's things to me that smack of just, like, strange bureaucratic decision-making that we're not privy to. But damn, are we going to cost people who are planning on vacations or getaways a huge, and not only that, the lines in Nogales have already this year been 5 hours. Can you believe it?
Oh my gosh!
I mean, talk about not wanting to go to Mexico at all. We've had 5 hour waits in downtown Nogales and at Mariposa Road so far. So either they're already taking resources from there, and that's why the waits are so long. And then people forget. They'll be like, okay, big deal. You know, let's be tight on immigration and blah blah blah. Guess what? You want to understand one of the major global warming issues? Think about people who are traveling, need to travel for work. They need to travel a total of 5 or 10 or 15 miles, and they're sitting in traffic for 4 hours or 5 hours.
Ridiculous.
Just sitting there. I mean, the agents are going to be getting sick. You can't breathe those carbon monoxide fumes for those number of hours, and on both sides.
Yeah, I just...
So, again...
I think
puzzled by the entire scenario. And as for the numbers that are coming in, I also understand that's apocalyptic. So that's why I said at the onset, I have lots of information and lots of analytical, like, you know, abilities or questions to ask, but I'm not sure that I understand either the magnitude of the issue, whether this is something now prior to an election in 2024 that the Biden administration needs to demonstrate that it's tough on immigration. I don't know. I don't know any of these things.
I think, it seems to me there could be, like, let's send a message, if you know what I mean. Just some kind of a, I don't know what the message is, but it just seems, I don't know, something suspicious.
Nor do we. I mean, that's my point. That's why I would like to have it. I think that, and the Sonorans, you know, this is a huge, this would be, if we decided today to cut off tourism to Sedona, that'd give you an idea of the impact, or to Flagstaff.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that's the impact. It's a huge impact, and it's a binational one. It's not the Mexicans. The number of people who have business interests, the number of people who have their condos or their houses or whatever in Puerto Peñasco, we've basically put their lives on hold, and we haven't told them when. And what you could do is, I mean, have the port open every other day. How's that?
Yeah.
I've been there. I lived in Lukeville next to the compound where the CBP officers are. Mm-hmm. There would be no problem at all logistically in opening that port every other day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then close Sasebo down, for God's sake. Sasebo has, like I said, it looks like it has one vehicle per month going through it. And, you know, that's how could it be open while Lukeville is shut? And then, you know, do some other things at San Luis, kind of equal weight, have people share the nightmare of a border closing with Mexico. But really, do you need to take one out altogether? So what you say is we don't have the facts to come up with a rational theory. I don't. I know lots of stuff, but I can't connect the dots.
All right. We're going to pause right here. More with Keith Rosenblum on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter.
we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do in Victorian heavy architecture. What's the proper word? A lot of beautiful Victorian architecture in downtown Silver City. Kind of a fun place to hang out. Southwest New Mexico is the website, southwestnewmexico.org, for things to do. Lots of outdoor activities, great places to stay, and some great places to eat as well with that New Mexican cuisine. And speaking of Mexico, Mexican and all things Mexico, Keith Rosenblum with our border report. A couple of very important tourism developments have happened over the last few days, and I think our listeners would like to know. Tulum, which is such a beautiful beach area south of Cancun, not as busy as Cancun. That's what I like about it. Well, their eagerly awaited international airport, Keith, is now open.
Yes, Keith is aware of that. And although I've only been to Cancun once, it really is like being in a airport in Paris or Atlanta. It's remarkable. You can go virtually anywhere. You can go anywhere in Mexico. You can go anywhere in the world from, I believe there were a flight. I think there was a flight. I can't remember. I was there for the one of the United Nations conference a couple of years ago. I swear there was something from Moscow in Berlin. What an amazing place. So Tulum is the spillover airport. Probably the best way to compare it would be like Phoenix to Tucson, really.
Yeah.
If Tucson Airport were to get, you know, right now the ratio of Phoenix to Tucson is probably 10 to 1 mm-hmm. in terms of flights.
Mm-hmm.
But there was such a need for it. And so this is one of President Lopez Obrador's bones that he throws, a very attractive bone that he threw to the military as well. This airport's going to be operated by the Mexican Army or the Air Force. I can't remember it is the military that's going to run it. And this is the same thing as the Felipe Ángeles Airport to the this is the alternative airport to Benito Juarez in Mexico City. Anyway, they definitely needed it. You wait for Tulum to boom just the same. I mean, there is no end to the world's appetite to go to Quintana Roo. And now with the Tren Maya coming on board as well, that's another project that Lopez Obrador has kind of successfully, he's hidden the cost from the Mexican public by having it be in the hands of the military. But it's also, to me, I mean, as much as it's been kind of concealed in terms of the costs of it, it actually is going to be, to me anyway, it's going to be a very successful tourist attraction. The Tren Maya has something like 1,200 miles of track that goes all through the beautiful archaeological areas and the delicate environmental areas of that part of Quintana Roo, of Yucatan, and they've it's a high speed train. They bought a whole bunch. They had actually required that is a Bombardier. I can't remember who actually. It's a Chinese some consortium that built the train, and they required that a lot of it be manufactured in Mexico, which it was. Anyway, that is supposed to start service any day now. I'm not clear how full scale it'll be when by the time López Obrador leaves office next September, but it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be that whole part of Mexico is going to continue to be just a boom. And guess what? You aren't going to see any of the security issues that affect the rest of the country, because when it's tourism, the Mexican government makes it clear to all the mafias, as if they didn't communicate, sorry guys, this will be, you know, taboo. You will not carrying out any of your activities here. You need to shift those over to Guerrero or to even to Sonora, you know, move them somewhere else. They will not be taking place in Cancun. That would really hurt us. So, I mean, it's funny to have this conversation in the same, in the aftermath of the conversation about Rocky Point, because also Rocky Point is a very, very safe place. There's simply understandings that you don't put your dirty laundry out, whatever the phrase is. You don't launder, you don't show your dirty laundry to the public. And so Mexico is going to make sure that that part of the country stays absolutely safe. And it is, and the numbers are just startling in terms of both what's going on today and what's to come.
And it's very reasonable. I've got an article in front of me. The tickets went on sale for the portion of the train that will be open, I think, December the 15th. The tickets sold out in 50 minutes. So the cost is around, depending on whether you're going to go like first class or tourist class, anywhere from about $70 to $100 U.S. So pretty darn reasonable.
Yeah, count me in on that. And that's going to be a must-see. It's just such a beautiful region. And Mexico has not governmentally supported that area for a good while. So it makes sense. López Obrador, who's himself from Tabasco, with a presence in Veracruz, he's made it a point to almost, not necessarily to strip money away from the north, but to just take money and put it into the south. And this is one of his signature projects. And it's one of the things he wants to do also to help Claudia Sheinbaum, who took leave of absence but is now the presidential candidate from the Morena Party. He wants everything to look really sweet so the Mexicans vote for her, because she will be a mini him for the next 6 years if she wins.
Is she the front runner?
Yes, today she's absolutely the front runner, but the other candidate, who's a woman, Xochitl Galvez, is much more brash, much more able to communicate with the masses. And Claudia Sheinbaum, who for lots of reasons I would love to see become the president if she wasn't just such a halting, non-creative, drab speaker. The woman, to me, has no communication skills whatsoever. And she just gets up and she sounds like a López Obrador parrot, just uttering these same cliches. I don't think that they've really loosened her on society yet, or maybe they're not going to. They think that just by maintaining her as a kind of a clone of President López Obrador and not allowing her to speak, that might be all she needs to just kind of ride the wave of that he was able to, and that he came in with, and his, you know, coattails will extend into 2024. But you know what? 8 months is a long time, or 9 months is a long time. She may not be able to continue to be so entirely gray and still win the day.
Okay, Keith, I've got to go. But is the election then what, late summer of 24?
July.
Oh, July.
Wait, I always get this wrong. I think it's the first Sunday of June or first Sunday of July. Sorry, you called my bluff again. I don't know the answer. One of those. I think it's the first Sunday of July, but I don't know.
Okay, Keith. Lots to cover. Maybe next month we can get into the minimum wage in Mexico. It's going to go up at 20% in 2024, but that's for perhaps your next visit with us. Thank you, Keith.
My pleasure.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Keith Rosenblum and John, engineering and producing the show, my name is Bill Buckmaster. Hope you enjoyed our program. We'll do it all over again in about 23 hours. Have a great afternoon.